Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to all our wonderful moms. I really do wish mine was around so I could talk to her today. Over the last year, I've been talking about maintaining a calm and quiet spirit. My mom was the epitome of that quiet and calm spirit. She had a confidence in God. And that confidence allowed her just to be herself. And that was quiet, calm, and peaceful. Well, today I want to encourage our moms and our fathers about this very same topic, about maintaining a quiet, calm spirit. But I want to do it from just a little bit of a different angle. You see, as parents, and in our position right now, we're grandparents, we find out that things can be hectic around kids, and we just don't have the energy to keep up as we once maybe did have. So what do we do? Well, one thing that we do have is the ability to remain calm and quiet and think through the process and come up with some kind of something to do with the kids that we can engage them and have a great time. So today, I want to talk about that quiet and calm spirit again. Oh, but you're not going to find that in our culture. You see, in our culture, if something happens, the news media jumps on it, the community jumps on it. If it goes to the internet, they escalate it to an area that it makes it almost unrecognizable. So we're not going to find that quiet spirit in our culture. So where do we find it? I think we can find that in the life of Jesus Christ. So I want you to go with me over to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39. And let's read a story that gives you a great picture of a calm spirit in a difficult situation. Let me read. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. This is a bad situation. But Jesus, he was in the stern of the boat, and he was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, let's talk about some of the things that we just read. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. Thank you for the quiet. Thank you for the cool. It feels great out in the bush today. But Father, I just pray that we'll be able to talk about some things that I can encourage our moms and our grandmothers, right along with dads and granddads, on how to maintain that quiet spirit that is so valuable in the Christian life. It actually sets us apart from the rest of the world. So, Father, help us to look at that and grasp it for ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. As you can see, there is an awful lot going on in this story. Well, first of all, Jesus took the disciples into a dangerous, even life-threatening situation. He knew what he was doing, yet he led them into a dangerous situation. That kind of blows out of the water God's going to give us a comfortable, easygoing life. You see, sometimes he leads us into difficult situations to find out what we're going to do. Well, secondly, In the middle of this life-threatening situation, Jesus was sound asleep. How did he do that? How did Jesus do that? Well, because of his being all-knowing, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what he was going to do. You see, he landed him in that difficult situation, knowing exactly what he was going to do to teach a lesson. Remember that when we're facing difficult times. Thirdly, just like us, the disciples were already accusing Jesus, "Don't you care?" You ever been there? Yeah, me too. Sometimes we have a tough spot and we say, "God, what are you doing? Don't you care about me?" The truth is, he cares very much. But he allows you, keep that in mind when we go into tough spots, he allows us to be in that situation to teach us something. We need to learn the lesson. And then number four, Jesus speaks and the storm subsides. It calms. It's dead quiet. That just goes to show you he has the answer. Let me say it again. He has the answer. You see, Jesus could sleep through anything because he knew the end from the beginning. But you see, we should be able to relax in bad situations because we know him and we know he cares and we know he has the ability to lead us through tough times if we will trust him. Something the disciples weren't doing very well. Because I think Jesus set this whole situation up to teach them a lesson. Yeah, they had walked with him some, but there were some lessons they need to learn. They were in this tough spot. They complained. And Jesus said in verse number 40, "Why are you so afraid?" And listen to this. "Have you still no faith?" You see, the world that they were living in had turned chaotic. Their lives were in danger, and they responded as any other normal human being. But Jesus made his point. Why are you being a normal human being? Why are you afraid? Don't you know that I'm with you? Don't you know that I can take care of this? The disciples were getting the lesson. But you see, we can learn from them. All of us have been in difficult situations before, and we get nervous. You see, when the pressure is on, that's when the true flavors come to the top. So when the pressure is on, what are we going to do? We're going to get anxious? We're going to start accusing God? And if we do, Jesus is going to say to us, "Why are you afraid? Do you still not have faith?" But we do get afraid, and we do get anxious at times, and we need to listen. One of the most repeated phrases in the Bible is "fear not." You see, Jesus said, "I look after the birds of the air, and they do okay. I look after the plants in the field, and they do okay. Don't you know, listen, don't you know that I care more for you than I do them? Why are you afraid?" Keep that in mind. He cares. Well, do you trust Jesus? Ask yourself that question. Now, I'm not talking trusting him for salvation. That's important. That's what starts the whole thing moving. But do we trust him for our safety? Do we trust him for our peace and quiet? Do we trust him for our well-being, even in the midst of life's worst storms? You see, if you trust him completely, you can avoid the fear and maintain that quiet, calm spirit. But if you struggle, as I do, let me just confess that. Sometimes I get anxious. I'm doing better, but I'm improving. But if you still struggle, I want to share with you some points that I heard from a person that you'll know the name. It's Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot was the wife of Jim Elliot, and we know the story that Jim Elliot and his mates went into the Aka Indians, and while they were there, they were killed. They were martyrs. But in her story, she tells that God laid it on her to take her kids into the very same place. How could she do that? How could she do that? Well, there's some things that she focused on, and that's what we're going to talk about. Let's look at the three things that Elizabeth Elliot suggested. First, trust in the Lord's presence. Secondly, trust in His sovereignty. And thirdly, trust in His love. Let me repeat those. Trust in the Lord's presence. Trust in His sovereignty. And then finally, trust in His love. First, trust in His presence. One of the clearest teachings that Jesus taught was, He said, I am with you even to the end of the age. And we're not to the end of the age yet, so we know for a born-again believer, Jesus is with us. We're going to look at that more and more in the next couple of months. And then He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing's going to happen to cause Him to leave. He will not turn His back on us as maybe friends will do here. He said, I won't leave you. I know life may be falling apart, but I won't leave you. I will not turn my back on you and forsake you. But you see, there's many times throughout the day that we get ourselves into stressful situations and we don't even think about Him being there. We figure we can handle that. We can worry about it. We can work through the details. Why don't we stop for just a moment and offer a prayer? It doesn't have to be some long, flowery prayer. Just, Jesus, help me. Or even, maybe just stop and look up and ask Him to help. Don't you think our lives would be a whole lot quieter and more calm if we will live with the awareness that Jesus is there? I think it would. Secondly, we need to trust in His sovereignty. That simply means He is in control. He is in control. Doesn't matter whether you're sick, He is in control. Doesn't matter whether you lost your job, He is in control. Doesn't matter what's going on, He is in control. Look, if you live in the lap of luxury, then God, for some reason, has allowed you to be there. If the world is falling apart and you really don't know what to do, God has allowed you to be there for some reason. You see, the disciples learned that in the storm. They were there to learn a lesson. It was a life-threatening situation, but Jesus says, why are you afraid? You get that? You see, God made everything, and everything is held together by His hand. If we breathe, He gave us the breath. If we tasted that good cup of coffee or tea this morning, He gave us the ability to taste that coffee or tea. Listen, we need to understand that He is in control. No ifs, ands, or buts. He is in control. And lastly, we should trust His love. You see, we know that God loved the world so much that He sent Jesus to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin to where we could be brought back to Him. He loves us that much. So when we face some difficult situation or our lives get chaotic, remember that God never, ever stops loving us. And His love is strong enough And it goes deep enough to hold us and to take care of us. As the old hymn said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. So, when life gets hard, what are we going to do? Maybe the kids or the grandkids are sick. As I said before, maybe you've lost your job or there's real difficulty going on at work. Maybe you've lost a loved one. What are you going to do? You're going to trust him? Or maybe, as we'll all have to do one day, you see the end of your own road coming. What are you going to do? You see, as moms and dads and grandparents, we need to remember in the midst of the good, bad, and the ugly to trust the Lord's presence. He is always there. Trust in his sovereignty. He knows what he's doing, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing, that he can't do. Sometimes he does appoint us to difficult times, but those are for a reason. Let him teach us that reason and keep our focus on him. And lastly, trust in his love. He loves us with a love that will take us through every day of this life and right on in to glory. Then, if we'll do these things, trust in his presence, trust in his sovereignty, trust in his love, then, and my guess is only then, we'll be able to maintain that quiet and calm and peaceful spirit. Father, help us to get our heads around this. Thank you for the blessed Holy Spirit who lives within us, that leads us and empowers us to have our focus on Jesus, and help us not to be afraid when life throws us a rough spot. Help us to understand that you, in fact, organize things for our benefit. Help us to learn the lessons that you want us to learn. But help us to continually praise you, regardless of what's going on. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.